Unfortunately, it really does seem always like this time of year, the parshas of Toldos, Vayetze, Vayishlach, that we unfortunately have very sad things to talk about, whether it was a Harnof massacre, whether it was other things that took place. And here we are learning parshas Vayishlach, the night when two Levayas are taking place this evening. Moshe Hirschdeutsch is taking place from a shul in Williamsburg, and Leah Mindel Ferenc is taking place in a shul in Jersey City. A police officer was killed, one of the workers in the Jewish shop were killed, and we know that it's in this week's Parsha, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalet, when the Pasuk tells us, the Banim of 176, in the Stol Chumash, Vayaretz Esav Lekraso, Vayichabkeo Vayipol Al Tzavarav, Vayishakeo Vayivku, that Esav runs to greet Yaakov, he embraces him, he falls on his neck, and he kisses him, and they cry. And Vayishakeyu, when he kisses him, has dots on top of it. And Rashi tells us, Nokudalov, Vyeshkolkin Badavar as a Braisa de Sefri. And it's a machlokes and a Braisa in the Sefri, the halachic medrash in Parsh on Bamidbar and Parshas Baloscha. Yesha Darshu, Nekudazu, Lomar Shalom Nashku Bechal Libo. And there are some who say that the dots on top of the word, and he kissed him, is because really it wasn't with all his heart. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, no. In this moment, it was with all his heart. He kissed him with all his heart, and that's why it has a dot on top, because this is unique. But normally, Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, halachahi biyadua she'esav son el Yaakov. That when you don't know, you always can assume halacha, it's halacha, it's known that Esav hates Yaakov. We don't have to look for reasons. We know that the Jewish people are at the brunt of the most irrational hatred in history, and you have people quoting it from professors of sociology, political history, but in the Sefer, they quote it to Rav Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yinkom Damo. Rav Menachem Zemba, who was one of the greatest of the Gedolim between the wars. He was raised by his grandfather. Father died when he was very young. He was raised by his grandfather, who was a chassid of the Kotzker, a Talmud of the Chedushei Rim, and a chassid of the Sfas Emes. So he grew up with Menachem Zemba as a Gera chassid. He married a very wealthy girl he was taking care of for 20 years, and his father-in-law died. He went in business. He didn't take a rabbinical post. World War I came, wiped out a lot of the money, and then he became a Rav, and he was offered to be chief rabbi of Yerushalayim at one point. He was well known throughout the world. He was a genius, and he was a very, very special person. Eventually, he became one of the head rabbanim in Warsaw, and we know that he was seen as the spiritual father of the Warsaw Ghetto Rebellion. When people didn't know, should they rebel, should they not, it's suicide, Rav Menachem Zem said, of course you should. And he himself was killed trying to escape a burning building during the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, holding the hand of a 5-year-old grandson. He was killed. They actually managed to bury him, and two nephews who survived the war, based on testimony of some survivors of the ghetto, because they buried him in the ghetto, they found his body and they exhumed him and they buried him in Eretz Yisrael, at a funeral of tens of thousands. And it's quoted by Shemer Menachem Zemba that he said, what does it mean, halacha, he biyadua she'esav son el Yaakov? What do you mean it's halacha, it's known, that Esav hates Yaakov? He says that it's totally, you know, halacha means, this is what it is. We don't ask questions. When you talk about the hatred that you can find against Jews, it's totally irrational. He himself said that there's some hate us because we're communists and socialists. There are those that hate us because we're capitalists and we have all the money. There are those that hate us because we're antiquated and we hold on to old ideas. There are those that hate us because we're ushering in a new world order and introducing all these newfangled ideas to the world. He goes, just halacha psuki, Esav son el Yaakov. And, you know, unfortunately, we feel that all too often. We don't have to look for reasons. This is what Chazal tell us, is what the Halakha Rashbi tells us, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar. And this is, unfortunately, what we find in this week's Parsha, Ma'aseh Avosim and Labanim. It's since the time of Esav, it's a time of Lavan, it's a time of Yishmael to Yitzchak. As soon as there was a process of Bechira, one being chosen and one being pushed away, the one that's pushed away hates the one that's chosen. Yishmael hates Yitzchak. right? Midrashim about how he was playing with his bow and arrow using Yitzchak to hold the target, right? Esav, we know, obviously, is looking to kill Yaakov. And so that's why we're not saying, and don't get me wrong, the Medrash doesn't say that all non-Jews hate Jews. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. There are certainly very righteous non-Jews. I do not believe every non-Jew is an anti-Semite. I don't believe it. But I do believe that when you find hatred of Jews, don't try and go and find a reason. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Although I do often think when these things happen that, you know, what my Roman Catholic friend Joe told me once in the barbershop when we were talking about his trips to the Holocaust countries, and as I'm getting a haircut and I can't see without my glasses on, and he's telling me about his visits to Auschwitz, to Birkenau, and he says, "Rabbi, look, I have goosebumps," and he sticks his arm like right in front of my face to see that literally he has goosebumps talking about it. And when I pay for my haircut and I'm on the way out, he says, "Rabbi, one second," and he comes and reaches right here, right down Mountain Avenue, Tri-City Barbershop. I'm at the door about to leave, and he like gets in my face and he says, "Rabbi, I want you to know it can happen here." I didn't know what he was talking about because we talked about other things also. I said, "Joe, what can happen here?" He goes, "A Holocaust." I said, "What?" And he said, "Rabbi, you know, my whole life I've grown up with Jews." He's a Jersey boy, lived in South Orange for many years, Hoboken. He goes, "Rabbi, I've been to bar mitzvahs, I've been to bat mitzvahs, I've been to brisson." I mean, he's the guy that asked me, "Do we have an Erev in Springfield?" You know what I'm saying? He lives in Lakewood now. He loves shopping in Bingo. He moved to a retirement community down in Lakewood. He goes, "Rabbi, you got it. Does your wife shop in Bingo, Rabbi?" He's like going on and on about, he's asking me questions about hashgachas. I'm like, "Joe, I get enough of these questions. I'm not answering my Goyish friend's questions about hashgachas, you know? For you, they're all good. Don't worry, Joe. You can eat all of them." I was really taken aback. And he said, I just want you to know, like, I've been at social events, you know, at a wedding, when the Jews are at the table. And when the Jews get up and walk away," he said, "Rabbi, you should only hear how we Goyim speak about you." This is what he tells me. And it was frightening. That's when I had the goosebumps. And unfortunately, we're constantly reminded that we're in Golus. And I think that if you're listening to the Sharm B'Tefila WhatsApp, not that I'm telling you should listen to the Sharm B'Tefila WhatsApp, but if you are, we're talking about the mode of Tefila called Bitzur. Right, Bitzur means batzar, that Rav Pinkus argues the most fundamental and essential form of prayer is screaming out to God out of anguish and distress. Because that is the essence of tefillah. And it's something he talks about that might be actually tonight's Sharm B'Tefila, I don't know yet, we're coming to that point, but we've said it many times from Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, the Machlokes, the Ramban and Rambam, about whether tefillah every day is da'araisa or not. The Rambam holds, every day there's a chi of da'araisa to daven, Torah obligation to daven. The Ramban holds, no, it's only be'ez tzara. And the Ramban quotes many proof texts that the only time Torah law you have to daven is in a time of distress. Zakt Rav Baron Soloveitchik, they said it in different words, but essentially the same yesod. The same idea that the Rambam and Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, they're not arguing. They both hold Torah law, the only obligation to daven is in a time of distress. But what the Rambam says is that any thinking human being will realize that every day is a time of distress. Every day is a time of distress. No matter what it is, you know, whether health, everyone has their issues. Everyone has their issues, that every day is an eis tzara. And that's what, you know, unfortunately, when these things happen, it just reminds us of where we are. You know, we like, you know, and I'm a Gullus Jew. I love Christmas lights. I'll say it. I asked Shiloh, we've discussed this before. I was told you can say that you love Christmas lights because there's nothing religious about them, right? There's no real... I was about to say halachic basis is not right. There's no halachic basis, meaning you can say it because nothing, no halacha to it. There's no avodah zara behind these lights. You know, they say Coca-Cola created it, whatever. Who knows who created the concept of the lights? Yeah, Susie, you know who made the lights?
No, not that. I go a step beyond you, that I actually have them in my house, and they only go on in honor of Shabbos.
Right. In Sukkah, people have them also as Sukkah lights. No, but I like this time of year when it gets so dark so early and everyone, the lights come out. It's really, I only like the nice ones, not the chintzy ones, you know, but like, but Lamaisa, you know, as a Gullus Jew, you know, it's nice, oh, Christmas time, a great feeling, but yeah, but Gullus Jew also means that what happened yesterday, it doesn't come as a surprise, unfortunately. You know, America has become such a an alluring Gullus. You know, it's like the famous Beis Halevi. And I guess we'll start with this. I apologize. I don't want to talk about this all night, but we'll start with the famous Beis Halevi in Perek Lamed Beis. Pasuk, one second. Lamed Beis, Yud Beis, 172. Oh, I wanted to say, after the Hakdama, that tonight the learning is Lili Nishmas Chaim Shmuel Meir ben Abba Halevi, Shem Shav and Aliyah, the learning that we do tonight. So in Perik Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 1, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Yaakov says, Hashem, please save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. And we know, what does it mean? Why does he say miyad achi miyad Esav? The hand of my brother, the hand of Esav. We know his brother is Esav. Yaakov doesn't have any other brothers. We know, so why miyad achi, the hand of my brother, the hand of Esav? So we know the famous Beis Halevi, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik said, because as a Jew, there are always two nisyonos of galus. One nisayon of galus, one danger of galus, is Esav HaRasha, that the non-Jew wants to destroy you. He wants to crush us. They want to kill us. But yet there's the other danger of galus, which is miyad achi, that the non-Jew doesn't want to kill us. What does he want to do? He wants to love us, and he wants to bring us close, and wants to embrace us, and wants to go drinking with us, and wants to make l'chaims with us. And the Beis HaLevi said, those are the two dangers. Those are the two dangers of galus. And by and large, we see, he says, which one is Yaakov Avinu more afraid of? Which does he pray for first? What's his major concern? Miyad achi. Save me from my brother. Save me from the fraternization with Esav. Save me from becoming one with Esav. And we know, unfortunately, that has been, you know, one of the greatest challenges. And in fact, that's what Gullus Yavan was all about. The Gullus that we commemorate coming out of during Hanukkah. What was Gullus Yavan all about? The Jews were in Israel. They had a Beis Hamikdash. So why were they in exile? Because they traded the values of Torah for the values of ancient Greece. That's what it was. They were in exile in the land of Israel. How could that be? They had a Beis HaMikdash, but they were in exile. How? Because they fell prey to Miyad Achi. They totally lost all their values. They became Hellenized. And as we said on Shabbos, unfortunately, that's why in Hanukkah there's no formal halachic requirement for celebration. There is no Hanukkah Suda, the way there is an obligation to have a Purim Suda, right? We know the famous answer is because on Purim they tried to destroy us physically, so we have to celebrate physically. And on Hanukkah they tried to destroy us spiritually, so we celebrate in a spiritual fashion. Ki ner mitzvah, v'torah or, Torah's light, a mitzvah is a lamp, so we celebrate in the spiritual way. But the other explanation that some give is because in Hanukkah, Jews were killing Jews. It was a civil war in Israel. Because you had Jews who recognized that we've so fallen into this Miyad Achi, we've fallen into the hand of Esav as a brother, that we've totally lost who we are. And unfortunately, you know, that leads sometimes to Miyad Esav. You know, that's the unfortunately how it sometimes goes. And so as Americans, you know, for decades it's been Miyad Achi. How many Jews unfortunately have lost their Jewish identity because they've lost that identity to American society as large, you know, and mamsh, while everything's going on yesterday, people are debating whether Judaism is a nationality, like Rabbeinu da Alma. If you don't see God, the handwriting somewhere behind this, like, it was too crazy. It was mamsh like, wait, is this really happening now? Like, I don't know about you. Last night, unfortunately, like, you know, when I go check out the news, after I do Daf Yomi, falling asleep in bed, before I do my Mishnah Yomi, right, just quickly check, I'm like, what? No, what, really? They're debating whether Jews are a nationality? When this happened, it was like too much for me. I was like, okay, Abishter, you're winking at us. I don't know what you're trying to say to us. But clearly, this was like, I don't know what message is supposed to be coming from this. But when we talk about Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav, the Slonimer has a little bit of a different taich, Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav. And he says that Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav is in fact that it's the most dangerous type of Yetzirah. And what is that Yetzirah? The most difficult klipa is the klipa, is the darkness that's actually mixed with light. Meaning, there was a Lavan who represented a certain spiritual threat to Yaakov. Was Yaakov afraid of Lavan? Not at all. Yaakov took Lavan on. He confronted him when Lavan chases him. Yaakov's not afraid to stand up to him. Yaakov's not afraid of Lavan. But when he's coming up against Esav, Vayira, Yaakov is very afraid. And the Slonim and Siva Shalom says, why? What was the difference? What was the difference between Esav and Lavan? They're both Mishpacha. They're both Rishaim. So what the Slonimer says is a little bit of what we've been saying from the Beis Halevi, but in different words, that the danger of Lavan was so obvious. The klipa, the darkness of Lavan, it was so clear to Yaakov. Bikesh lakor es hakol. Lavan wanted to rip up everything. Lavan was the epitome of a lowlife, of a Russia. So that Yaakov had no problem standing up against him. Yaakov had no fear from a Lavan in any way, shape, or form. But what was the klipa, what was the covering, the husk, the darkness of Esav? It's miyad achi, miyad Esav. What does it mean, miyad achi? The Slonimer says a little bit different. We know that Esav did have some redeeming characteristics. Esav excelled at kibur av. Esav did have a certain appreciation of what it meant to be a child of Yitzchak Avinu, a grandchild of Avram Avinu. We know that when Yaakov Avinu is going to be buried in Ma'aris HaMachpelah, ultimately, Esav protests. He says, I want to be buried there. It's very interesting. Esav is not, I mean, you know, we learn and as little kids, we have the, you know, the projects they do in school now. One side is Yaakov, the tzaddik with the payas and the long rekel, and the other side is Esav as a hunter with the bow and arrow, right? With all the hairy and he's red, right? The like the flip, like the angel and the devil. But Esav was much more complicated than that. He wasn't this total Russia like love and bikesh lakar asakol. And in fact, Esav was tov v'rab be'erbuvia. Esav was this mixture of good and bad. And to Yaakov, that was much more dangerous. Because he says, I see the redeeming factors in my brother. And it's very hard for me. First of all, you know, physically, maybe he has certain zechusim. Am I going to be able to stand up against my brother? The merits that he does have of kibbut avaim, of wanting to carry on the Yerusha of our father and our grandfather, of carrying on their mission, that Esav to a certain extent did want to have that role. But yet at the same time, the danger of Yaakov, of Esav, is that he's that achi, but he's that Esav also. And that's what Yaakov is the most afraid of. And he's afraid of both, that I'm going to be attracted to Esav. I'm going to think that I can rehabilitate, that I can stay with Esav, but at the same time, I'm also afraid of what he can do to me physically. And so the Slonimer says that this is the most dangerous type of klipa that takes the most work to really, and siyata d'shmaya, to be able to get through. When you have that tov and that choshech be'erbuvia, when you have that good and that light and that dark mixed together, to be able to navigate that. And that's unfortunately, you know, the world that we live in. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schachter, I've mentioned to him many, many times, one of the Gedolei Kabbalah. I remember when I brought my Talmidim to him. So I've often told you one thing that he told them. When I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, when I brought my Talmidim to Rabbi Yaakov Meir, you remember what he told them? You know, the first thing he told them was, remember, when you go back to America, and you really try and daven with kavana, you try and find time to learn, you really get involved in chesed, and really give of yourself, he said you could reach the level, this is what he told them, of the avos and the imahos. Your avoda is cherished to the Ribbono Shel Olam, like he appreciated and cherished the avoda of Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Rachav Leah. I remember that was mind-blowing. And I've shared that many times. And that's a little bit about Hanukkah. Also, we mentioned in the Shloshim Yom 2 days ago, So the idea that Hashem appreciates our avoda, and we can't, the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, we were just mentioning earlier, he's the one that says that's why mitzvah of Neres Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva himaod, it's so cherished, the Rambam writes, because it's a reminder of how Hashem cherishes what we do, that we were looking for that oil to light the menorah, and how Hashem appreciated that and made a miracle happen because of that. But Rabbi Yaakov Meir also told Ma'ad Tamidim a second thing. And this I haven't really quoted as much. He told them, when you're going to go back to America, be very careful. Because in America, Rishus doesn't necessarily look like Rishus. That's what he said. It was very interesting. He said, Rishus might have on, like evil behavior, might be dressed very nicely. You know, here, he says, we know what Mechablim, you know, the terrorists, how they are and how we make them look, but what we think they are. But he said, you're going to go back to America, the nisyonos of America, the challenges, spiritual challenges are very different. And Rishon can look like tzaddikim, they can look like the good guys. They look very refined, and he said, in a very nice suit, and they talk very nice, but it could be pure Rishus. And he says, you have to be very, very careful of that when you go back. And it's interesting, because, you know, that's what the Slonimer here is saying was, what Yaakov Avinu was so afraid of. Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav, like I can deal with the Lavan, who's just totally confrontational, who has no redeeming character, look like, I get it, okay, great, no problem, like Iran, okay, Shkoyach, we understand the danger of Iran, right? But when you come here, it's a very different danger here, very different danger, a very serious danger, please, you know, how many Jews, Rachman al-Atzlan, have totally fallen off from any connection the Torah mitzvahs, and that's with great, great sadness. It's the tragedy of the American Jewish experience. And the greatest gullus that we've ever had, and one of the most damaging gullus that we've ever had. But again, that's how it has to be. Zel u'mazel selikim, right? Everything has to be in balance. So it makes sense that this gullus that has the greatest opportunities for us, there's never been a gullus like this. Torah learning, chesed, tzedakah that goes on. I mean, you ever see the Gemach list in Lakewood? Or how many shuls there are in Muncie? You know, like I was talking to a teacher in Berea that we teach together, and she was like, wait, there's only one shul in your town? I'm like, yeah, there's only one shul. It's like, no. Like during the weekday, there's only one day. Like, if my husband would come to Springfield to daven, there's only one shul to daven in. I'm like, right. She's like, no way. I'm like, uh-huh. She's like, couldn't believe it. It's like, you might be the last place in America. There's one shul, like I won't say what town she went to out of town, because she went, I went somewhere out of town. They had three shuls. You only have one, and you're in New Jersey. You're like right here. I'm like, yes. She like couldn't comprehend it. She was like walked away, blown away, right? Like wild. America's the best gullus of Jews have ever had. Maybe since Bavel. Like no one wanted to leave, right? With Ezra and Nehemiah. It's never been this great gullus, but yet there's never been a gullus this dangerous. There's never been gullus as dangerous of Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav, the Or, and the Choshech, Berbuvia. And that's what we have to really be very, very careful about. Continuing on, okay, so we'll see how many more we get to. We have like four more things. Let's get to one, maybe two. But we know that in Pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalid, we're going to go through just Chav Hei, just like the greatest hits in this week's parasha. Let's see how many we can get through. So we went through two. About Esav kissing Yaakov, what that means. Halacha psuka for Menachem Zemba. Don't look for reasons. We went through Miyad Achim, Miyad Esav, the Beis Halevi, and Siva Shalom. And now we're going to come to I won't say the most famous pasuk in this week's parasha, but there's a great song from this pasuk, right? Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Chav Hei. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Vayavik ish imo adalos hashachar. Right? Remember the song? It's a great song. It's a geshmak song. It's a little interesting. What do you make a song out of? You know, like Yaakov. But again, what this means is that Yaakov was left alone, and a man struggles with him until dawn. So we know that there's so much Torah on this pasuk. Mamish, we have spoken about this pasuk so many times. We can continue. But there's just one nekuda that the Slonimer has that's very important. And that is, why now? Why specifically now is Yaakov faced with this Nisayon? And why is Yaakov the one that's attacked? Why is Avram not attacked? Why is Yitzchak? And we've discussed this before. Rabbi Yileh Mansur once spoke in our shul. He mentioned an idea about the supporters of Torah, that from the Chavetz Chaim, that Yaakov represents Torah, right? That Yaakov represents Torah, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, will let us daven, let us do chesed. We learn Torah, that's the most dangerous thing to the Satan, and he tries to prevent that. But there's something else that the Slonimer points out. Yaakov is when the Jewish people really become the Jewish people. Meaning, from an Avram, there's still going to be a Yishmael, right? All the forefather of the Arabs. From Yitzchak is still going to be whom? Esav, Edom, all of Western civilization. Meaning, Esav hu Edom, that is Rome, right? So you have, I mean, interesting, huh? You have the whole Arab world, the Middle East, that's from Yishmael, from Avram. You have all of Western civilization from Esav, Edom, from Yitzchak Avinu. Now, Yaakov Avinu, he is the Av that mitaso shlema. He is the Av that really becomes the father of the whole of the Jewish people. So that's why Yaakov Avinu is the one that has to be attacked. But when is Yaakov Avinu attacked? Vayivaser Yaakov levado. The Slonimer says, only when Yaakov is left alone. And he says that there's a tremendous yesod here. There's a tremendous lesson that a Jew becomes most vulnerable when they're not connected to others. When you're not connected to others, that's when you're the most vulnerable. And we know that this is a spiritual thing. We're not talking necessarily physical, although we know that there was a famous story that during the Second World War, when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai and the whole yeshiva was learning in this one big shul, but it was very stuffy and very hot, and a few Talmidim came to ask the Mashgiach, Reb Chatzka Levenstein, that, you know, there's another shul, believe, I mean, mamish in Shanghai, there was more like, can you imagine? In Shanghai. And like this crazy hashkacha, why that shul was even built, like mamish, wild stories. But, you know, they wanted to go learn somewhere else down the block, and Reb Chatzka said, you can't. I said, why not? He goes, you're going to separate from the tzibur? The zechus of being part of this tzibur is what has saved this yeshiva up until this point. That we traveled as one. We went everywhere as one. We were all connected to each other. He said, you want to break apart now? You can't. You have to stay here. And he wouldn't let them leave. The whole Mir Yeshiva, and there's a famous picture that I have because I have the Mir Haggadah, and the opening flap is a picture of the whole Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, and that basement. Gold Rebbe Shmuel Birnbaum is in the picture. Goldie's father, Goldie Sirotskin's father. The whole Mir Yeshiva. But the Slonimer is saying, you know, just on a spiritual point, that when you have to be connected to the tzibur, that is the greatest shmira that a person can have. And he explains, this is what happens with Yosef HaTzadik, right? When is Yosef most vulnerable? When Yosef is separated from his brothers, when he's in Mitzrayim, when he starts enjoying life, right? Starts having a nice life, and he forgets his father. And the Pasuk tells us that Yosef goes to the house, Lasos Malachto. He goes to do his work. And one pshat is, what does that mean? He goes to be intimate with Potiphar's wife. He's going to go have relations with her. And the Pasuk is that at that last moment, he left his garment in her hand, and he runs out. Why did he run out? What happened in that moment? So the Gemara in Sota tells us that Niris lo demus diukno shalaviv, that he saw the image of his father right before he sinned. Like he went into the house to sin with Potiphar's wife. But that last moment he saw the image of his father and he couldn't do it. What does that mean? That he saw the image of his father and he couldn't do it. Seeing the image of his father meant that Yosef was ultimately still connected to the Jewish people. That revelation that he had of seeing his father was the reminder to Yosef that you're still a Jew. And when a person understands that she's part of Am Yisrael, and that you have a role in Am Yisrael, and you're part of this Am HaNivchar, so the Slonimer is saying that you have a certain shmira, you have a certain spiritual protection. But you have to know that, and you have to live life like that. He says that's what the Torah is telling us. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. When Yaakov is left alone, that's when he's in danger. When he's disconnected from his sons, that are also refers to as his brothers, meaning the rest of the Jewish people. When he's away from his wife, when he's mamish vayivaser Yaakov levado, that's when he becomes susceptible to being attacked and to being hurt. And he is hurt from this experience. He walks away limping from it. So this is what the Slonimer says, that how careful we have to be to make sure that we're never far apart from the Jewish people. And that's why he says that, that's why Yaakov Avinu, right, this is the idea that Lavan and Esav, these are the challenges that Yaakov has to have, because he is the one that represents Knesset Yisrael. He's the one that represents the whole of the Jewish people. But when you take yourself out, when Yaakov removed himself from the Jewish people to be alone, so that means he was a certain, there was a certain danger of what was going to happen to him. So obviously it's a reminder for each and every one of us of what it means to be part of a community, what it means to give, what it means to recognize, as we often say from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, lo la'atzmacha nivris, a person isn't created for himself. Lo nivris ha'adam ela lahovil la'achrini. Human beings were created only to help other people. And as part of the Jewish people, that is our raison d'etre. That's who we are, right? And that's the most fundamental definition of a Jew, is a person who is really not about himself. It's not about herself. Really just thinking of others. And that's what Yaakov Avinu, when you're just by yourself and just thinking of yourself, and you know, he goes back for the Pachim Ketan, and what does that mean? He goes back for these, for pennies, something worth pennies. So some say Shvach, pray, some say Genai of Yaakov, that he went back for these things, thinking, you know, separating himself, thinking of small things. And okay, so which should we go to now? Let's just end with one thing. It's a little bit of a Pella. It's a little bit of a wonder. Perek Lamed Daled. Right? So in the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled, it's a very, very traumatic experience. One that is left without any resolution. Right? The whole story ends basically with the brothers yelling at their father. Shimon and Levi yelling at Yaakov, Vayomer Hachazona Yaseh Hachoseinu, and it ends. The whole Perek Lamed Aleph, from beginning to end, Lamed Aleph, is a tragedy, and it's traumatic what happens. The rape of Dina, there's a wild medrash, though. There's a wild medrash. And the truth is, I don't have time to go through the whole medrash. Should I pose the question to you and you'll think about it, or no? We have a scholar in residence at Shabbos, so I'm not going to give you the answer on Shabbos. I shouldn't give the question? No, so I'll just give you the question. So I'll tell you that there's a WhatsApp answer. Okay, only the chaver here, though. So if you look, there's a medrash, a wild medrash. The medrash says, Reish Lakish says, there are three expressions of love and affection that Hashem love has for the Jewish people. B'dveika, b'chasheika, b'chafetza. With dveikus, with cheshek, and with chafetz. Right? Dveikus means to be attached to. Cheshek means like great yearning. And chefetz is desire. Right? These are the three lashonos through which Hashem expresses his affection and love for us. Vatem hadveikim b'Hashem elokeichem. That's one lashon. Cheshek, lo mirubchem mikol am chashek Hashem b'chem. That Hashem has yearning for you, not because there's so many of you, but he just has great yearning. The chafetza ki tia atem eretz chav chefetz. That you are really ones for the land of great desire, that Hashem loves you. And you know what the Medrash says? You know where we see the significance of these three Lashonos of yearning and love for another? In Perek Lamed Daled. They're all used in the context of Shechem for Dina. In Perek Gimel, it's Pasuk Gimel, Lamed Daled Gimel 180, it says, Vatidbak nafsho bedina bas Yaakov. Right, his soul becomes attached to Dina Bas Yaakov. Vayev Asanari, he loved her. So that's Lashon of Dveikus. Vatidbak Nafsho Bedina Bas Yaakov. His soul became attached. The next is in Ches. The next Lashon is what? 182, this top second to line. Pasuk Ches. Vayidaber Chamor Itam Limor Shechem Beni Chashkod Nafsho Bevitchem. Chamor is talking to Yaakov and his brothers, Dina's brothers, the Shvatim. My son, chashko nafsho. His soul is yearning for your daughter. And then in Pasuk Yutes, the bottom of the page, velo echar hanar lasos hadavar, that Shechem doesn't hold back from making everyone, all the males, have a bris mila in his town, ki chafetz bevas Yaakov. Because he has tremendous desire for Bas Yaakov. And the Slonimer says, what? We're learning the three expressions of love Hashem has for the Jewish people from Shechem ben Hamor, from his yearning and attachment and desire for Dina? Does that make any sense? How does that make any sense? And further, he also says that it's interesting, twice, how is she referred to? Vatidbak nafsho bedina bas Yaakov. In Pasuk Yates, it's also Velo Echar Hanar Lasos Adavar Ki Chafetz Bivas Yaakov. And Pasuk Ches was Vaydaber Chamor Itam Lemor Shechem Bini Chashka Nafsho Bividchem. In each Pasuk, talking about Shechem's yearning for Dina, it only once mentions Dina. The rest of the time it's Bas Yaakov, or your daughter. What? Oh, the beginning. Very good. Okay, in Achinami. But these three Lashonos of love, very strange. Mentioning Bas Yaakov, so I'll tell you what this, I'll mamish and I'll regalachas. And you just think about, I can't go into the depths of it, but it's all related to Hanukkah. You figure out how it's related to Hanukkah, okay? Meaning that everyone, and aside from the Arizal, that Shechem was a nitzotz of the spark of Adam HaRishon, and the Gilgulim, I'm not going to get into the Gilgulim of the Arizal, that's just way confusing. But the idea is that every emotion, every feeling that comes into the world is an expression of something true, and is an expression of something holy, and is an expression of something pure. But when it comes into the world, it unfortunately can become corrupted and could become dirtied and sullied. Meaning, to a certain extent, Shechem had a great yearning to be connected to Yaakov Avinu. He sensed the holiness. And Me Hashem Yatza Tov, from Hashem comes only good, where Hashem gives these yearnings. But the question is, how is it expressed? And how does it get lost in translation? Right? And it's interesting, when you talk about Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, there was incredible knowledge of God. There were millions of prophets. There was a Ruach and Avu, there was a spirit of prophecy inundated the land. How could they fall into Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis, and Shvichas Damim? Because this great intimacy and intense relationship with God could be corrupted and could be brought into Avodah Zarah. And when there's an overabundance of love, think it's the 1960s, there's so much love, you don't know what to do with the love. And the love becomes corrupted, right? And when you think about Hanukkah also, meaning the Greeks, Western philosophy, at its core, the Rambam says there's tremendous beauty in Western philosophy. There's tremendous wisdom. Chachma bagoyim tamin. There is great wisdom amongst the nations of the world. But the question is, when it comes into the world, how is it nurtured? And how is it expressed? And how is it filtered? And what is it affected by? And so it's very interesting, meaning what the Slanimer says, the Medrash is teaching us, is that the three Lashonos of love and affection that Hashem has for the Jewish people are found in Shechem's yearning for Dina, because ultimately every yearning in this world is a yearning of holiness. Everything can be a yearning of holiness. The question is, how is it expressed? When Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelet, Oiv kesef lo yispa kesef, one who loves money will never be satisfied with the money that they have. So Mefarshim says, so why did Hashem put that desire into the world? So Mefarshim, Rishonim already talk about the idea that what you have to recognize is Hashem gave this great desire in the world not to be used for money and physicality. Never to be satisfied isn't supposed to be in Gashmius. We're supposed to take that feeling, we're supposed to take that character trait, and it's supposed to be put towards what? Towards Ruchnius, towards spirituality, towards Ma'isya Mitzvahs, towards Chesed. And so that's what the Slanimer is saying, essentially. And that the Medrash is teaching us a deep truth. That the beauty that Greece was after is true. There's great beauty in the world. But what? As we know from Parshas Noach, Yaft Elokim Liefes, V'yishkon Ba'ol Eshem. There is a great value, an objective value to beauty. But where does that have to be seen? Through what prism? Through the tense of shame, through the tense of Torah. Torah is what allows us to appreciate the beauty in the greatest form, in the real form, in the pure and holy form. And without that, then unfortunately it could become corrupted, and we see what it becomes. It becomes Shechem raping Dima. It becomes one of the most disturbing stories in all of Sefer Bereishis, which has a lot of disturbing stories, right? But yet, this is the challenge that we have. And this, of course, relates to the Klipa of Esav, of the Ra and Tov. This is exactly the idea of the good and the bad being mixed together. I mean, they're so good, but you have to be careful. The Choshech, how it grabs on, how it latches on. And we have a lot of the challenge in life. And this is why in Kabbalistic literature, there's always this concept of Birurim. Birurim. What does Birurim mean? What does Livrar mean? What's Borer? To select, to choose, to separate. In Kabbalistic literature, there's this concept of birurim, separating the sparks of holiness, the nitzotzos of holiness, the sparks of holiness from the husks, from the klipos, because they're all mixed together. And that's the challenge we have on the micro scale and, of course, in the macro scale. And before Mashiach comes, where we are now, this is when it's the hardest time to be able to take out the sparks of holiness from the husks because of everything that we said tonight. That's why, of course, Hanukkah is the yontif of Mashiach's time. Okay? But the rest you got to figure out. Okay. Shkoyach.